Okay, we're doing Chazara. We're up to the Gemara of Chaf Gimel Amud Beis. Says the Gemara, we're on the seventh last wide line. Says the Gemara, Boi Mine Rabbi Yosef, Breder of Nachunya, Mirabi Yehuda. Rabbi Yosef asks Rabbi Yehuda the following Shaila. Mahu Shianiach Odom Tfilov Tachas Mirashaisov. Remember, we've learned all this Gemara, this Zul Chazara. We go a little bit quicker than normal. What is the halacha? Are you allowed to put, is a person allowed to put his tefillin underneath his head? When he goes to sleep, can he use the tefillin as a pillow? Says the Gemara, Tachas Margaloisov Loikomiboili. To put the tefillin underneath his feet, to use it as a footrest, that I'm not even asking. Shenoyeg bohen minag bizoyen. That's clearly considered conducting himself with the tefillin in a very, very impolite and a manner of bizoyen. Ki komi boyeli, what I'm asking is, tachas mirashesov. What about underneath his head? Maybe to be using as a pillow is not considered a bizoyen, such as a footrest would be considered. My, what will be the halacha then? Says the Gemara. Amalei, hoche mashmuel muter afilu ishtoi imoy. You are allowed, this was a quote of Shmuel, and we'll see the Gemara discusses this in the future, coming up. Muter afilu ishtoi imoy. Yes, you are allowed to use it as a pillow. It's not considered a bizoyin. It's only considered a bizoyin to use the tefillin as a footrest. But as a pillow is not a problem, even if his wife is there together with him in the bed. Says the Gemara Meisvei, we have a kasha from a brisa where it says, Lo yaniach odom tefilov tachas margaloisov. It says a person should not put his tefillin underneath his feet. This is, as we said before, why? Because that's considered a bizoyin for the tefillin. Aval manicha on tachas merashayso, but he is allowed to put the tefillin underneath his head. So far, it fits in word for word with what we've said until now. So what's the kasha? Because the brisa now continues and it says, v'im hoy so ishto imoy, and if his wife was with him, asor, then it is asor. That is a big kasha, because we just finished saying the exact opposite. We said that it's mutter even if his wife is together with him. And here in the brisa it says to the opposite, that if his wife is together with him, then it's also except im hoya mokim shegavoya gimel tfochim oy nomo gimel tfochim. If the tefillin is higher or lower than his head by a height of 3 tochim, then it would be muta. But either way, what do you see in this brisa? I see in this brisa that even though, yes, you are allowed to use the tefillin, as it were, as a pillow to put it underneath your head, but not if his wife is together with him. And yet the Gemara just said in the name of Shmuel that even with a wife, it's muta. Says the Gemara, Tiyuvta de Shmuel Tiyuvta. That is a big kasha, and l'chayra, an unanswerable kasha on Shmuel. Shmuel says it's muta afilu ishtoi imoy, and yet in this brisa, it seems to be clear that no, with ishtoi imoy, it's awesome. Now, if, under ordinary circumstances, if an amoira is disproven, the Gemara has asked a kasha which has no answer, then l'chayra, we cannot obviously paske l'halocha like Shmuel. Because Shmuel's position has been absolutely refuted and disproven. So surely that cannot be the halacha. And yet the Gemara over here says, no. Amar Rava, on the bottom line, Af al gav, even though the Tanya, Tiyuvta de Shmuel, even though the brisa we just quoted seems to be a non-answerable question on Shmuel, nonetheless, Hilchasa Kavosei. the halacha still does follow his position, and that it's mutter even if ishto imoy. My timer. How can that be? Says the Gemara, because kol lenaturinhu tfei odif. Kol lenaturinhu tfei odif. That means if he's using them to, if he's putting them underneath his head to protect him, not just for his own comfort, but to protect the tefillin, to protect the tefillin. He's actually putting them under his head for safekeeping to protect the tefillin. Then that is more important to us than the alternative. What's the alternative? If you tell him that you cannot put the tefillin underneath your head, so they will not be secure, they will not be protected. So what might happen? As Rashi says at the top, Ganovim might come and take them. Achborim, rats might come. The infestation start gnawing at the tefillin, and that would be a bizoya into the tefillin. Says the Gemara, therefore, it is worth our while, as it were. It's better that he should put the tefillin underneath his head, thereby ensuring that the tefillin will be protected. That is better than the alternative, which is not to protect him, to protect the tefillin, we thereby might bring a very big bizoyim to the tefillin, ganovim or achborim. So therefore, even though Shmuel's position is the chayre very difficult, because the braisa clearly says the opposite, but the halacha is nonetheless like Shmuel. Yes, you may put the tefillin under your head in order to secure them, to protect them, because that way, a greater bizoyim, even though here there is a mini bizoyim, but a greater bizoyim is at least now has been allayed. The tefillin will not be stolen. The rats will not come as long as he's put the tefillin underneath his head. So therefore, the mini bizoyim, by putting his head on them, outweighs, is more important to us, the greater bizoyim, the risk that you run if he indeed ends up having his tefillin stolen. Says the Gemara, v'heicha manachluhu. So where exactly should he put the tefillin? Where exactly, where's the best place to put the tefillin? Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yirmiya, bein kar lekeses shaloi keneged roishoi. He should put the tefillin between the pillow and the cover, but not keneged roishoi. Not keneged roishoi. That means when you put your head on the pillow, your head obviously is not covering the entire pillow. It's covering one part of the pillow. So don't put the tefillin immediately underneath your head. Put it shaloi keneged roishoi. Says the Gemara, v'hatani Reb Chiya, but surely Reb Chiya taught us, manichon b'koiva tachas merashoisov. It says quite clearly that you can put the tefillin b'koiva tachas merashoisov immediately under his head. Says the Gemara, the mapik lay lemulsha de koiva lebar. This koiva, which we normally translate as a hat, the Rashi says over here, it means the tefillin bag, the tefillin cover. Yes, it's in a tefillin bag, but the tefillin bag have a mursha. What does a mursha mean? It has like a corner. So the bag might well be under your head. That's true. But the tefillin will be in the corner of that bag, which is protruding beyond where your head is. So actually, the tefillin are not immediately underneath your head. Says the Gemara, Bar Kapora Tzair Lehu Bekilta. Bar Kapora did exactly that. He bundled the tefillin in the curtain, which was draped around the bed. ומפיק למורשיהם לבר. And once again, he made sure that curtain, even though it ended up now being bundled underneath his head, but the corner was pointing out such that the actual tefillin were not immediately beneath his head. Rav Shisha Breid Rav Idi Manach Lehu Ashar Shifa. What's Ashar Shifa? Ashar Shifa, Rashi says, is a safsal, a bench or a chair. Uporis Sudra Olayu. He put his tefillin on a chair and then covered it up with a beged. Says the Gemara, Omar Rav Amnuna, said Rav Amnuna, Breider of Yosef, Zimna Chada, on one occasion, have a Koimna Kamei de Rava. I was standing in front of Rava, Omar Li, and he said to me, Zil, I see Li tefillin, please go and bring me my tefillin. Va'ashkechetinu, and I discovered them. Guess where his tefillin were? His tefillin were bein kar lekeses shaloi keneged roshoy, as we described before, in between the pillar and the cover, but not immediately beneath his head. Va'aviyodano, and I was able to understand from there that yoim tevila hava. I understood from the circumstances that this was the night that his wife had toiveled. Ula agmaron, and to teach me halocha lemaisa hu da'ovad. In other words, why indeed did Rava send me to fetch his tefillin? He wanted to teach me that the halocha is like Shmuel. Shmuel says you're allowed to put the tefillin there even if ishto imoi. So I understood that's in fact the reason that Rava dispatched me to go and fetch my tefillin, in order that I should understand from the circumstances that indeed that was his wife's leil tefillah. So clearly she was with him at the time, and nonetheless the tefillin were there. So that was another way of transmitting to me that he clearly paskins like Shmuel. Says the Gemara, Bo'i minei Rav Yosef Breid Rav Nechunya me Rav Yehuda. Another shayla from Rav Yehuda. Shnayim sheyishenim b'mito achas. Two people sleeping in the same bed. Mahu shezeh yachzir ponov v'yikro kriyashma. Vezeh yachzir ponov v'yikro kriyashma. Is, what's the halacha? Can one turn around, not facing the other, and say Kriya Shema? And so too, the second one, also not facing the first, can they both say Kriya Shema there? Says the Gemara, Amalei Hochem Shmuel, Va'afilu Ishtoi Imoi. The Gemara says, listen, if Shmuel tells us that even if his wife is there, it's mutter to recite Kriya Shema, and as Rashi explains, we're clearly talking about that he's not facing his wife, but rather he is facing away from her. And nonetheless, it is mutter. Then Kol Shekein, it is mutter with somebody else. What's the Kol Shekein? Because there's obviously going to be, the Gemara thinks at this stage, more hirhur with his wife. And nonetheless, it is mutter to say Kriya Shema in her presence, at least when she's facing away. So Kol Shekein, if there's somebody else where there's less hirhur. Says the Gemara, no, it's not true. Maskevor of Yosef, Ishtoi, v'loy miboya acher. If you say afilu ishtoi, that means even the wife, even. But what? Obviously somebody else? Adarab ishtoi kegufoi, acher lav kegufoi. His wife is like his own goof. And if his wife is like his own goof, as Rashi explains to the contrary, there's not more hirhur, there is less hirhur, because he's familiar with his wife. So how can you tell me that it's mutter to say Kriya Shema, even with the wife, as if to say, obviously with somebody else, why is it obvious? Perhaps only with the wife, not even the wife. Says the Gemara Meisve, we have a stira from a Braisa now. Shnayim sheyeshenim b'mito achas. Two people sleeping, we're on the first wide line over here, two people sleeping in the same bed. Ze machsir pono v'koirei, ve'ze machsir pono v'koirei. So far that fits in. Each one is allowed to turn away from the other and be koirei kriya shema. The Tanya Achriti, and yet we have a second brace, and it says, Hayoshein b'mito ubono v'bnei beisoi b'tzidoi. Somebody is sleeping in his bed, and he has his children and his bnei bayis with him. Harize loy yikra kriya shema. He should not recite kriya shema. Elo imke noiso talis mafsekes b'neiyem. Unless there was a talis, which we've always meant, always said it means just a piece of clothing, which is mafsik between them. V'im hoyu bonov u'bnei beisoi ketanim. If, however, the children and the bnei bayis are young, then it would be mutter. So we have now a stira l'chayra between two braises. One braisa says that it's mutter, one braisa says it's osa. Now, do we have a way of reconciling the two braises? Says the Gemara, it depends. Bishleimel Rabbi Yosef, according to Rabbi Yosef, who said that what? That your isha is in fact more lenient because it's ishto kegufoi. So lo ikashem. So for this does not present any difficulty, this braisa. Is it mutter to say kriya shema in the presence of somebody else in the same bed, or is it osa? And the answer is it depends. Ha be'ishtoi, ha ba'acher. If it's with his wife, it'll be permitted, because ishtoi kegufoi. And if it's with somebody else, it'll be prohibited. So if there's no stira in the braces, it's just talking about two different people. Elo l'shmuel kashya. But according to Shmuel, it's very difficult. Why is it difficult? Because Shmuel said that there is no distinction between the wife and anybody else. Afilu ishtoi. So then, how do you reconcile these two braisas? One braisa says it's muta, that's fine. But what does the other braisa mean? It's osa. Why is it osa? Who's it osa? The wife, somebody else. According to Shmuel, everything's fine. So when would it ever be osa? Says the Gemara, one second. Oh, Melech Shmuel, Rabbi Yosef, minicha. Says Shmuel, according to Rabbi Yosef, is it any better? Why are you blaming me? Why are you pointing the finger of blame at me as if to say, I'm in trouble, but Rabbi Yosef is okay? Why is it any better according to Rabbi Yosef? Ay, Vatanya, Hoya Yoshein Bemito. We have another braisa that says, if you're sleeping in bed, ubono b'nei beisa v'mita, loy yikare kriya shema elen kein, hoysof talis nafsikas b'neiyem. So I have a mufurush braisa that says that in fact it's asa. Bono v'bnei beisa. And Rashi explained, b'nei beisa over here is referring to the wife. So you see, Adam Mufurush and Bryce is saying that in the presence of the wife, it's also. So why are you telling me that I'm in trouble? As if to say Rabbi Yosef is not. Rabbi Yosef is also in trouble. Rabbi Yosef says certainly that it's muta within presence of the wife, and yet here we have a Bryce that says it's also. So what are you going to have to say? Elo ma'is l'chol ha'meima. So what are you going to have to say? That ishtoi l'Rabbi Yosef tanoihi. You have no choice but to say that according to Rabbi Yosef, this whole discussion about is it mutter to say Kriya Shema in the presence of a wife in bed is a machlokes tanoim. And yes, there really is a contradiction or a machlokes between the two braises because there's two different opinions. Well, therefore, ledidi nami tanoihi. Therefore, according to me also, I'll also say it's a machlokes tanoim. if Rav Yosef is allowed to say that, and not just allowed, he's going to have to say it, then why can't I say the same? So if you throw at me a contradiction in the braces, you know what I'll simply say? It's a machlokes. Yes, I happen to hold that in the presence of the wife it's mutter, but there's a braces that says also, it's not my concern, it's machlokes. So therefore, Rav Yosef and Shmuel will both have to learn it's a machlokes tanoim, and everybody's opinion is left standing. Says the Gemara, Omamar, let's go over what we just said before. Ze yachzir ponov v'koyre kriyishma v'ho'ika agvois. What's v'ika agvois? Even if they're not facing each other, they're in fact facing away from each other. V'ho'agvois, as Rashi explains, the buttocks are touching each other, even if they are facing away from each other. Why doesn't that present a problem? Says the Gemara, it doesn't. Messiah Leila Ravuna, this would clearly be a source, a proof to Ravuna's position. Domer Ravuna, Agvois ein bohem mishum erva. Agvois is not considered an erva. Therefore, even though the agvois may well be touching each other, that's not an erva. Says the Gemara, Lema Messiah Leila Ravuna, let us try perhaps and bring another source for Ravuna. Because it says, this is a Mishnah in Chalom, Ho'isha Yosheves, a woman may sit, the Kotsa lo Chalosa, and she can prepare her Chala Aruma, even though she is not clothed. How can she do that? She's going to make a Brocha, and she's not clothed, no problem. Poneho Bekarka. Poneho obviously doesn't mean her face, it means the bottom part of the goof. The erva, if she's sitting down, will be covered up by the karka. So because it's not visible, there's no problem to say a brocha in that particular state. One moment, says the Gemara, avaloi ha'ish, but a person cannot because his eva will be protruding. So one second, this seems to be a proof for Ravuna. Why is this a proof for Ravuna? Because it's all very well to tell me that the erva is covered, but what about the agvois? The agvois are surely not covered. And if that's the case, why is she allowed to say the brocha over chala whilst the agvois are exposed? Says the Gemara, Teir Gemara of Nachman by Yitzchak going show you poneho toichos bekarka. She's not just sitting on karka. She's actually, as it were, in a little ditch in the karka. She sinks into the karka. So therefore, not only is the erva covered, but the agvois are also covered. So therefore, you cannot bring a proof from over here that the agvois is not an erva. La'olam, it may well be that the agvois is an erva. However, over here we're talking about the agvois are also covered because she's not just, as it were, sitting on a chair. Rather, she's sitting sunken into the ground such that the agvois are in fact covered and not exposed. Omar Mar says the Gemara, Im hoyu bonov ubnei beisoi ktanim muta. What does ktanim mean? Ba'ad kamo. How small is small? How young is young? Omer Abchista Tinoikais, if it is a girl you're talking about, Bas Sholei Shonav Yemechod, 3 years and a day. The Tinoik Ben Tes Shonav Yemechod, 9 years and a day. Ikedomri, some say no, it's a year earlier. Tinoikas Bas Yud Aleph Shona, sorry, it's later. A girl, 11 years old, the Tinoik Ben Shtemesri Shonav Yemechod, 12 years old. Idi Vidi. Both, everybody agrees, ad kadei shodayim nochoinu v'sa'areich tzimeach. Once her goof starts developing and she now develops female parts of her goof, so then obviously at that stage it would be us. Says the Gemara, Omalei Rav Kana Rav Ashi, Hosam Omar Rava, over there in the previous Omad you told me that afal gavdu tiyuvta de Shmuel. Nonetheless, Hilchasa Kavasei de Shmuel, even though Shmuel seemed to have been disproven from a brisa, nonetheless the halacha follows his position. Hochamai, what about over here with regard to our sugya with two people in the same bed? Do we go with Shmuel or we don't go with Shmuel? Amalei otu kula b'chodo machte machtinu. Says the Gemara, are they all woven together? Just because we once said that halacha is like Shmuel, does that now become a general principle that whenever we mention Shmuel, the halacha has to follow him? Eloheicha de itma itma, veicha de lo itma. When it was taught to us that halacha follows Shmuel, then it was taught to us. That doesn't now suddenly become a general rule across the board. And if we weren't told that halacha is like him over here, then halacha is not like him. On the layer of Mary Lirapapa, Sa'ar Yotze Bebigdoi. What happens if he has Sa'ar, meaning Sa'ar, from the lower part of the guf around the erva, which is protruding a beged? Says the Gemara, Kara Aleh, he called that Sa'ar Sa'ar. Big deal. Who cares? The Sa'ar there is not considered an erva, and it therefore does not present any problem whatsoever. Omer Rav Yitzchok, tefach be'isha erva. A single tefach, obviously part of the guf which is normally covered, of an isha, who's not his own wife, is considered an erva. What does that mean, is considered an erva? Says the Gemara Lamai, with regard to which halacha? Ilema le'istakuleba. If you're talking about for him to look there, then you don't need a tefach, even less. V'omer of sheshes lama mona akosav tachshitim shebechutzim tachshitim shebefnim loy malacha kol amistakel ber etz paketano shel isha. If you look at the small finger of a woman in order to derive pleasure, kilo mistakel mokem atayiv, as if you're looking at the erev. So any part of the guf, even if it is less than a tefach, would be asa. So why are you telling me a tefach b'isha erva if it's with regard to the loch of histaklus barois, even less than a tefach, even just a finger? Elo b'ishtoi ula kriyashma. You're right. We're not talking about histaklus barois. With regard to histaklus barois, even less than a tefach is also. Here we're talking about his own wife. If it's his own wife, then there's no halach of also histaklus barois. A person is allowed to be mistakel at his own wife, but not whilst he's reciting Kriya Shema. If it is a part of the guf which is normally covered, and now it happens to be uncovered, then you cannot say Kriya Shema. You remember we saw the halacha, this includes saying Dvarim Shem B'Kedusha as well. And if you remember, therefore, we spoke about, you have uncomfortable situations, you invite guests Friday night, you have a woman who's not appropriately dressed, how do you say Kiddush? How do you say Brachas? How do you say Psukim? And the bottom line was, we saw then, best is to be able to turn away completely. If not, at least turn your eyes away. If not, turn your whole goof away. So we'll hold it over here, and Emes Hashem, tomorrow we'll continue from where we left off.